At this time, I apologize for not introducing Dr. Pastor Stephen Justly. He is our minister this morning, and I apologize for not introducing him.
Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 100. Let's give you remain standing as we read Psalm 100 together. I'd ask you also, once we finish reading, if you would keep your Bibles open before you. This is the Word of God. We'll be going back through this psalm. Hear now the Word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with joyful singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Some translations have, it is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and His faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
You
may be seated. Express to you what a privilege it is to be here this morning. This is a beautiful church. Carol and I noticed that right off the bat as we saw it sitting off the road, and had the privilege through the years of serving at Lakeland Presbyterian Church with Ken Shepherd as an elder there, and also with the Charles ministering to them, and it is a joy to be here today. Before we look into God's Word, let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words that we have read and heard together this morning. We pray that Your Holy Spirit that inspired these words will now take these words, illumine them to our minds, apply them to our hearts. Lord, may we be changed through Your Word and Your Spirit. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Story is told of a teacher announcing to her fourth grade class in school, "Children, I'm an atheist." Then she began to drone on about her unbelief in God, and then she asked the class the question, "How many of you are atheists?" And of course, none of them raised their hands. So the teacher began badgering the class. She picked on one particular girl. She said, "Lucy, what are you?" Lucy replied, "Ma'am, I'm a Christian." Said, "Lucy, why are you a Christian?" Says, "Well, ma'am, I was brought up in a Christian home. My mom is a Christian. My daddy's a Christian. I'm a Christian." Now, before Lucy could even finish her answer, the teacher interrupted her. "That's no reason to be a Christian. Lucy, listen. If your mom was a moron and your daddy was a moron, what would you be?" Lucy paused. She smiled. With a respectful tone, she replied, "Well, if my mom was a moron and my daddy was a moron, then I'm pretty sure I'd be an atheist." The Bible agrees. In the New Testament, the word for fool is the word moros, from which we get the word moron. Psalm 14:1, it says, "The fool says in his heart," that is, the fool from the place where he thinks and feels and desires, the fool lies to himself, herself, and says there is no God. See, atheism is at its core self-deception. It's foolish. It is tragic. How sad to go through life, especially during this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and have no one to show gratitude to. How tragic to have this empty heart with a God-shaped hole, trying to fill this empty hole with everything but God. So I want to ask you this morning to please pray for people that you know who do not believe in God, especially during the holidays. Don't stop praying for them, but do something else. Live out the reality of Thanksgiving before people. Do thanksgiving. Now, Psalm 100 that we have open before us this morning reveals three characteristics of a lifestyle of what I'd like to call this morning thanks living. That is, a lifestyle of thanks living lived out in real time in a post-Genesis 3 fallen world, world that is full of entitled but ungrateful people. Now, before the scripture spells out what thanks living looks like, there's something you need to know about praise and thanks living. Notice it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know the Lord, He is God. Enter His gates. Praise the Lord. Now, in the Bible, there's two kinds of praise. There's praise proper, that is adoring God for who He is. And then there's praise thanksgiving, that is adoring, praising God for what He's done. Praising God for who He is and for what He does. And what the fabric of Psalm 100 does, it weaves together the threads of who God is and what God has done. Notice it says, know that the Lord, He is God. And then notice in verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, in His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Why? Because the Lord is good. The Lord is God. The Lord is good. We praise God for who He is, and we praise Him for what He has done. Now, what you need to know is this. When God commands, and He's commanding, notice it says, all the earth. When God commands the whole planet to praise Him, He's actually not asking us to do anything we do not already do. There's an essay on praise written by an author you've heard of named C.S. Lewis. It's from Praise in the Psalms, and this is what he says. I want you to hear this argument that Lewis makes. He says, all enjoyment of everything spontaneously overflows with praise. Think about that. All enjoyment of everything overflows with praise. You know, our DNA is programmed with praise. Lovers praising their beloved. For 8 years, I was a radio announcer. I announced at popular music stations and country music stations and Christian music stations. And I would say about 70% of praise is directed towards someone's loved one. That is, 70% of all love songs written are to those people who love. The other 30% are to those who've been jilted. They're called breakup, heartbreak songs. We have readers praising John Grisham, travelers praising the coast and the mountains, sports fans praising their favorite teams. Can I get a hotty toddy or a hail state? People praising their favorite movie, their favorite food, their favorite restaurant. People saying, praising their flowers, their children, their sunsets, wine, the list goes on. People praise what they enjoy. Remember that fact. People praise what they enjoy. But then, according to Lewis, people also urge others in praising what they enjoy. In other words, people urge us to join them in praising what we love and enjoy. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't that song great? What an amazing Alan Jackson, James Taylor, Paul McCartney concert that was. Isn't that tiramisu and Amerigos to die for? In other words, join me in praising what I enjoy. And so Lewis creates this loop of praise. He says, we complete our joy by praising what we enjoy and by asking others to join us in praising what we enjoy. That is the loop of praise. We praise what we enjoy. We ask others to join us in praising what we enjoy. How great this place is. How great this song is. How great this movie is. How great this experience is, right? Then what Lewis does, characteristic fashion, he doses us with a strong espresso shot of conviction. Lewis says the problem with our praise is this. We spend far too much time praising lesser things and not enough time praising God. After all, this God is full of mercy and grace, and we will always feel more or less complete only to the extent that we express praise to this God and encourage others to join us in praising this God. That's how we begin to feel complete. In other words, praise is personal and praise is evangelistic. Praise is a shout out to the world. If you knew this God, your life would overflow with praise. You see, in this fallen world, we praise God. We give thanks to the Lord. We leave no doubt to anyone who knows us. There is no greater good on the face of this earth than the Lord Himself. Now, very quickly, let me give you three characteristics of thanks living. Three characteristics of thanks living praise that need to be evident in our lives. And the first characteristic is this: thanks living praise is shouting. Thanks living praise is shouting. Notice the what. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The word for make there in the Hebrew means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. To blow that trumpet. And you know, if you've ever played an instrument, you know you have to blow a trumpet or a saxophone or whatever from the diaphragm. In other words, you praise God from deep inside. That's the what. But notice the why. Know that the Lord, He is good. Verse 3. And then verse 5. For the Lord is God. The Lord is good. The Lord is God. That's why we shout to the Lord. That's why we praise God. Ronald Allen tells about a medical missionary who served many years in India, a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with a healthy vision, but something in the area caused people to lose their sight as the years progressed. Well, God, in His mercy, enabled this missionary to develop a treatment to stop this progressive blindness. People would come to this doctor, they'd be treated, they left realizing that apart from the work of this missionary, they would have gone completely blind. You see, because of the work of this missionary, their sight was restored. Now, the missionary goes on to explain, these people never said thank you. The words thank you, not in their language. Instead, the tribe's people who had been healed would speak a word that means this: I will tell of your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who cured their blindness. You see, because these people knew mercy, because these people received something good, something wonderful, these people were more than eager to tell what happened to them and to tell who performed this great deed. And friends, once we realize how the Lord cured our spiritual blindness, so that we see our sin for what it is, so we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ forgiving our sin, restoring our spiritual vision, adopting us into His forever family. Once we know the grace and mercy of God, a grace and mercy that is pictured right here before us on this table in the Lord's Supper, once we know that, how can we not have a healthy case of what my daddy used to call the can't help it's when it comes to vocalizing our praise and thanksgiving to God? Thanks living is a life of shouting, a shout out to God. Notice in the second place, the second characteristic of a lifestyle of thanksgiving is this: thanks living praise, it's not just shouting, thanks living praise is serving. Serving. Notice what it says: serve the Lord with gladness. Now, we know it's relatively easy to talk about thanks living praise, But we need to realize the Bible reveals that words and deeds are Siamese twins joined at the heart. In other words, thanksgiving praise involves opening our mouths and rolling up our sleeves. We realize also that what we do when we serve is not designed to draw attention to ourselves. We're simply demonstrating how God's grace changes us from being self-centered, attention-starved people to becoming people who demonstrate a demeanor of humble service to the Lord, even if that service to the Lord and to others goes unnoticed and unappreciated. Dr. Brian Chappell was former president of Covenant Theological Seminary, former stated clerk of the PCA. He used to assign Covenant Seminary students as volunteers in St. Louis area hospitals. The list of every hospital ward and a couple of the hospitals in St. Louis was filled up except for one ward. And the ward where the list had hardly anyone on it was the Alzheimer's ward. So Chapel decided to volunteer to serve for a month in the Alzheimer's ward of the hospital. And after a month, Chapel understood why nobody volunteered to serve. He said, and I quote, "In every other area of the hospital, people recognized me, thanked me, made me feel good about myself. In the Alzheimer's ward, no one even remembered me the next day." Chapel realized with great embarrassment, I was serving others for their praise. Friends, listen, we serve the Lord even if no one notices, even if no one ever even thanks us. No attaboys, no attagirls, no accolades. And notice it says, we serve the Lord, notice that second line, with gladness, not with a grimace. And here's why. Because ultimately it is the Lord that we serve. However small the act of service, however menial, we are serving the Lord. Let me just read to you Colossians 3, verses 22, or 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving." See, this is the same Lord Jesus Christ who said, "I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Thanksgiving is shouting. Thanksgiving is serving. There's one other characteristic of thanksgiving that this psalm reveals, and that's this. Thanksgiving praise is singing. It's singing. Notice it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with joyful songs." A couple of weeks ago, I got to experience one of my bucket list experiences. That is, I got to attend a Paul McCartney concert in Atlanta. Now, I noticed as he was leading singing. He was a pretty good choir director. He started leading this chorus of "Hey Jude," and he had everybody singing this, this, and this, and I mean, everybody was revved up singing the fade out of la da 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 that all the way. Now, I mean, people were smiling, singing, waving back and forth. But if we switch from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta to a typical Sunday morning worship service in church, instead of our singing sounding like a holy hallelujah of praise, sometimes in churches our singing sounds more like a Gregorian chant in a minor key. So I ask you, why do people get more joy from singing "Sweet Caroline" in a room full of people than they get joy from worshiping the Lord? It's a question you need to ask. And listen, singing is important. Dr. Paul Korstrom, who works with M&A, he's a professor of mine at RTS. Now, if you were to ask Dr. Korstrom, he'd tell you, I can't carry a tune in number 10 wash bucket. But if you ask me to take any part of a youth conference, I will immediately volunteer to be in charge of the singing. Why? Here's what Korstrom said. He said, youth forget in a few days, maybe in a few hours, what the speaker said. But they will remember music and lyrics of songs for days, weeks, months, and years later. Singing drives truth into our minds and memories. Singing moves truth from our heads into our hearts. Singing moves us emotionally. You know, some of my greatest memories growing up at Bay Street Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg was of the songs that made up the soundtrack that surrounded the Lord's Supper. Beautiful songs. Now consider in your own life how through the years songs you've heard, songs you've sung have provided a soundtrack to your own lifetime movie. I realize I'm fixing to date myself a little bit, but I want to share with you some love songs I grew up hearing. Herb Albert confessing, "This guy's in love with you." Dean Martin reminding us, "You're nobody till somebody loves you." Huey Lewis in the news extolling the power of love. Elvis confessing, "I can't help falling in love with you." The Bee Gees asking, "How deep is your love?" Ray Charles declaring, "I can't stop loving you." And of course, the Beatles reminding us, "All you need is love." As believers, we sing songs praising this God. Why? Because this God, revealed in the Bible, loved us when we were most unlovable. You see, the Lord's Supper is God's love song to us. There was nothing. What did God see in us that made Him love us? Nothing. We were unlovable, but He loved us because He loved us. That's grace. We praise this great shepherd who, according to Psalm 23, leads us beside living waters, restores our soul, walks with us to the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, and one day this Jesus will take our hand and walk us straight through the front door of the Father's house where we will live forever. So this morning, let me encourage you, in your life, let's shout. Let's serve. Let's sing. That's how we do thanksgiving. How we do it every day of our lives. Listen, thanksgiving isn't the least we can do. Thanksgiving is the least we must do, because we are declaring before a watching world a simple message. And the message is this: how great is our God? Let me read this again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast covenant love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generation. Let us do what Psalm 100 tells us to do. What Psalm 100 invites us to do. Let us praise God. Let us shout. Let us serve. Let us sing. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that and the salvation you have provided through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that you give us something to shout out to the world about. How our spiritual blindness has been taken away, how we can see your grace and your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you give us an opportunity to show our gratitude to you by serving others, and by serving others not because of what it brings to us, but because we simply serve for the joy of serving you. And Lord, help us to be people, regardless of how good or not our voices are, who are willing to sing songs of praises to you. Lord, help our lifestyle be one of shouting and serving and singing. Lord, it's not the least we can do, it's the least we must do. Lord, we thank you for being such a great God, for who you are, for what you do. We thank you and we pray, God, that you will enable us to do what your word tells us to do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.